Palisades Fire, which, if the insane news cycle buried it from your memory, began on January 7th, 2025, and caused massive destruction across the Pacific Palisades, Topanga, and Malibu, with nearly every structure north of Sunset Boulevard in Pacific Palisades being obliterated, causing severe air pollution in Los Angeles. The crisis was compounded by water supply issues, as 20% of fire hydrants in the more elevated parts of Pacific Palisades ran dry. The containment efforts reached only 8% by January 31st of 2025, after 24 days of battling an inferno that 7 months later is still being investigated as arson. In the aftermath, Governor Gavin Newsom signed Senate Bill 549 into law. This legislation grants Los Angeles County the authority to purchase fire-destroyed lots at minimal cost, a decision that directly contradicts Newsom's previous statements to homeowners that government-driven property conversions would not occur.
I was just talking to Josh Green, the governor down in Hawaii, who had some ideas around some land use concerns he has around speculators coming in, buying up properties, and the like. So we're already working with our legal teams to move those things forward, and we'll be presenting those in a matter of days, not just weeks.
The bill mandates that from January 2026, 40% of the housing in affected areas must be affordable, and it establishes a, quote, resilient rebuilding authority, end quote, that overrides local community decisions on rebuilding efforts. This strips away local control, likely displacing original homeowners who don't fall under the criteria of Section 8 recipients, and enables rezoning without their input.
The people that are in charge of this bill, they're the people in charge of letting the whole town burn down, okay? You can say whatever you want, but all their decisions, all their negligence, all that, that's why we have no town in the Palisades. Why would we ever have them in charge of rebuilding what they let burn down?
With SB 549, the authority can buy back land and offer it first to original owners. But if they cannot afford it, they lose their homes permanently, setting the table for Smart LA 2028, led by the City of Los Angeles's Information Technology Agency, a government technocracy that is building the 2028 Olympics on the charred remains of its citizens' homes.
Technology enables the City of LA to efficiently and ethically improve the quality of life for our residents, businesses, and visitors. In other words, when done right, technology makes us smarter. That's why the City of Los Angeles strives to be a smart city. And there's never been a more important time for Los Angeles to be smart than now, as we prepare to host the world in the 2028 Summer Olympics and Paralympics.
Meanwhile, the LA Rises public outreach campaign, launched by the survivors to support recovery efforts, is undermined by Newsom's policy shifts, which prioritize government control over the restoration of homeowner rights and local autonomy.
What they're proposing is a separate government entity to be comprised of political appointees, not people elected by you, who would have centralized authority over construction permitting, development, land acquisition, and other key decisions that will shape the future of the Palisades.
In this brave new world, the people of Pacific Palisades are not rebuilding their lives. They are being rebuilt by a government that ignored their cries for help and sees opportunity in their suffering, an opportunity with motive.
It's like California's being run by a criminal operation, and the goal is the biggest land grab in the history of the United States of America.
But the question isn't whether this was planned, it's whether the people of California will stand idly by as their homes, their rights, and their futures are consumed by the same fire that started it all. Their time to take a stand is today, and it isn't tomorrow. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
All right, folks, that's the latest from John Bound. Find and share it now at band.videoinfowars.com. Must watch report. Newsom's SB 549 is criminal on its face.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
It's Friday, July 18th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday morning. I'm just going to use my signature Alex Jones battle knife. Holy heck, that thing's sharp. To open my power plant adaptogen complex. Oh, sorry, didn't see you there. I'm just using one product from thealexjonesstore.com to get access to these other products from thealexjonesstore.com. I'm actually going to try these for the first time right now before we get into our daily news. There's a lot of news to talk about today. We're going to take your calls as well. We may be joined by a special guest a little bit later today. But we certainly have a lot of videos to get to, a lot of developments to describe. And again, we'll get to your phone calls throughout the show today. So I'm going to take these. And on the other side, we'll start today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks. Your daily dispatch for Friday, the 18th of July, 2025. House gives final approval to Trump's $9 billion to cut public broadcasting and foreign aid. Early on 18th of July in Washington, the House passed President Trump's $9 billion spending cut bill, impacting public broadcasting and foreign aid. Sending it to the president for his signature, the legislation followed Trump's official request to claw back funds, with debates over foreign aid cuts and partisan divides, as no Democrats supported the measures. Now, again, we'll get into this a little bit later. I'm not actually that big of a fan of this. I know this is like a big victory. People are taking victory laps. We'll show some clips of some Republicans later talking about the success of defunding PBS and NPR. I think this is, frankly, short-sighted and kind of stupid, and I'll explain that later. But if you've listened to NPR at all over the last couple of weeks, you'll know they've been running hours and hours and hours of programming about how the big bad Republicans are trying to, you know, take Elmo away from your child. And it's just, in terms of PR and in terms of what's best for the nation, I don't know. We'll get into it later. We'll get into it later. Don't let me forget. But I want to go off on that. Meanwhile, Trump directs Bondi to release relevant grand jury transcripts in Epstein case. On Thursday, President Trump asked Attorney General Pam Bondi to produce grand jury transcripts subject to court approval. Amid finding of no client list evidence, Trump had earlier vowed to release Epstein files, as the DOJ concluded there was no support for conspiracy theories about his death or clients. Despite secrecy rules, Bondi signaled that the government generally must keep grand jury materials confidential and court approval is required to release. So we'll see if anything comes from that. I'm not particularly expecting much. Some people are framing this as if this was the plan all along, that this really was 5D chess, that this was all a plan to get everybody begging for the Epstein files, and then they were going to release them. And it's like, no, that's actually not what's happening. And I can explain why in a little bit. But no, that's not what's happening.
I wish it was. You know, I wish I could believe that Donald Trump is playing these long-term mind games, creating interest in something only to, you know, subvert expectations and release the information in the first place. That's like bizarre wish fulfillment fantasy stuff from Q. Because the question is, why would he do that? Why would he do that? It's like it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It's like option one. So what you're telling me is that he campaigned on releasing Epstein, then he put Kash Patel and Pam and Dan Bongino in, who are always talking about Epstein, and then they had the binder release with phase one that turned out not to be really the release of phase one, and then there was the Pam Bondi, the files on my desk. Actually, we're getting it from New York. Actually, it's in an 18-wheeler just outside. Actually, there's thousands of FBI agents on it. Actually, it doesn't exist, and you're an idiot for thinking that it does. And then, you know, after all this maelstrom, this scandal feedback loop, and then at the height of the drama, Trump releases the Epstein files, and it's like, oh, Q, it was a plan all along. That's one option. The other option is he just releases the files. Why would you do all of this other stuff? What would be the point of this big, if he just released the Epstein files, it would be a big story no matter what. There is absolutely nothing to gain from several months of internal strife with the Republicans debating about the Epstein files. It's just like, no, this is not a big trick. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Again, we could get into it later, but people who are like, yeah, this is all a plan. It's like, yes, I could just release the Epstein files, but first, I think I'll do irreversible damage to the Republican Party, then release the files. Oh, very brilliant strategizing, chess master Trump. It's like, no, what the hell are we talking about? The hell are you talking about? He could have just released the files on day two of his presidency and would have had the same impact as it would have if they were released today. So he's like, yeah, I'm going to release the Epstein files, but as part of my QAnon ultimate master plan, I'm going to humiliate Kash Patel and Dan Bongino first. Yeah, I'll release the Epstein files, but first I'm going to destroy the reputation of Kash Patel and Dan Bongino for fun. First, I'm going to do that for kicks, and then I'll release the Epstein files. Guys, come on. Come on, you guys. Come on, you guys. You can't just be a conspiracy theorist and not apply basic logic to things. Why would he do this? What? Okay, well, we'll move on now. But my God, grow up. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal, sexualized letter bearing Trump's name found in Epstein birthday book, Trump denies. That's it. They got him. The walls are closing in. Finally, he's not going to escape this time. The Wall Street Journal published some book that some dude said was a birthday present for Epstein that somebody put Trump's signature in. Oh my gosh. A bombshell revelation. We should impeach him now. This is one of the weirdest, most bizarre stories. And again, it has this characteristic kind of like of the Iranian nuclear facility discovery. You know, it's like, oh, you just happened to discover this? What are you saying? You're saying that this just appeared right now while Trump is embroiled in a giant scandal about the Epstein files. This is when this just happened to come to your attention. What are you saying exactly? It's just odd. The story is, apparently, Jeffrey Epstein was given a book for his 50th birthday that people wrote letters to him in. There was a letter that was supposedly from Donald Trump in there, although he denies writing the letter and is now suing the Wall Street Journal. Explosive new reporting gives salacious details about the two men's intimate friendship. While President Trump called it the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. And so that's a fake Wall Street Journal story. And you know they were intimate friends because they were caught on video together one time in the early 90s. So case closed. So that means they were best friends, intimate friends forever. The whole thing's ridiculous. What's up? The whole thing's ridiculous.
We've got multiple instances of him being caught on video with Epstein.
Really? I've just seen that one.
Roll the tape.
Let's roll it. Is there no tape? This is the one I'm talking about. Is that some sort of party? This is it. There you go. Evidence of their intimate friendship. Look at all these children. Yeah. It's just this one tape, right? Were you kidding?
I mean, there are other pictures, you know, of him. You know, the one with him, Melania, and Maxwell and Epstein.
Right.
I mean, they were obviously at other events.
Look at Epstein
together being
looking over his shoulder.
You know.
And this is evidence of their intimate friendship.
You I'm can tell how was, intimate they were are. Caught on camera. The bright light that reflected off of them was captured multiple times.
That's true. That is true. Case closed. Release the files. I gotta read the actual thing. I mean, the thing is weird. The video or the article, whatever this thing is that they wrote, this body birthday note. Like, what even is this? I'll have to read the actual entry. It's like just very bizarre. I can tell you one thing. I guarantee you with 100% certainty, I'd bet my life on it. It's not something that Donald Trump wrote. It's I don't know if we can find the actual thing. Trump's name on 2003 birthday letter to Epstein. Look, it's pretty simple. You throw out a bunch of fake information that's nonsense to muddy the waters and discredit the real information that's associated with your now fake information. We call this the Pizzagate tactic, right? Because you've got a set of circumstances that makes people suspicious, that inspires questions, that demands explanation. And instead of answering any of those questions or providing explanations, you just come up with a bunch of lies that you throw into the mix that you then point to and go, I'm not answering any of your questions. Listen to this. Look at this lie that you're telling. And it's just what they did with Pizzagate, right? So Pizzagate happens when all these emails come out of Hillary Clinton and DNC insiders, John Podesta and others, and they're talking about spirit cooking and they're talking about sacrificing chickens to Moloch. And they're talking about the children that will be in the hot tub for your entertainment who didn't apparently have any family or, you know, guardians. They're looking after them, but were just delivered by an Uber like a pizza. Yeah, like a pizza. Get it? Pizza-related maps people found. There was all of this, you know, very odd language describing things that seemed very, you know, blatantly like code language. And instead of actually answering any of that, they made it all about Comet Pizza for some reason and some basement in a pizza in one single pizza place in Washington, D.C., when the reality was it was very bizarre communications from a bunch of people that seemed to be, from a layman's view, talking in code about their pedophile network. But now it's all about some sort of pizza place. Now it's a pizza place in D.C. and whether or not they have a basement. And they point to that and say, see, you're crazy. Even though the reality is nobody to date has yet ever even provided a remotely plausible answer as to all of the bizarre language in these completely uncontested emails. These emails that everybody recognizes are valid and real. They've never talked about or explained why spirit cooking is anything other than a literal satanic witchcraft ritual that they're all involved in. But they don't have to answer any of those questions because some dude shot a single bullet into the hard drive of a computer at Comet Ping Pong, so now you can't talk about it anymore. So that's all they're doing with Jeffrey Epstein is literally just coming up with bizarre lies about Trump and Epstein to both make it a partisan thing so that they can control you through divide and conquer by claiming that if you are actually still talking about Jeffrey Epstein, that's because you're a leftist and you're just trying to attack Trump while simultaneously just chumming the water with lies, with falsehoods to discredit the whole thing. So now when people hear that, they go, oh, Epstein, this whole thing, it's like Trump's writing letters and this must all be nonsense. When the reality is, there's a hell of a lot there proven on record incontrovertibly. So this is the Drudge Report headline. Wall Street Journal downloads on Don drawing of naked woman Ghislaine's birthday surprise. It's fake lawsuit threat. Big red text. This is literally nothing. Somebody wrote a letter to Jeffrey Epstein for his birthday. Wow, what a bombshell. What a bombshell that was. And I think finally we have this. The Late Show with Stephen Colbert ending next year with CBS retiring late night franchise. They're giving up on the whole damn franchise. Well, it was a good run. It was a legendary run. Really an amazing thing you had going there. Could have been an American institution. Could have existed for decades more. But you gave it to a hyperventilating middle-aged lesbian. And he ran it into the ground. So well done, you idiots. You took a guaranteed good thing, a guaranteed success, a tried and true practice that had dominated late night television for decades on end. And you did this at a time when the burgeoning growth of video on the internet should have only helped you, right? It makes sense why internet video and streaming would be harmful to, like, you know, daytime sitcoms. It's just like TV, typical TV shows. And they don't really stand up to the, you know, modern media consumption habits. Something like late night, celebrity interviews, shocking moments. It's tailor-made for viral clips. Skits, musical numbers, man on the street interviews. Late night should be thriving right now. It should be the golden age of late night television as we speak. Instead, it's going down. Instead, it's collapsing. And the Democrats' response to this, I think, is very indicative, very illustrative of just why nothing they ever do works or is good. Sorry, I'm almost being hypnotized by this scene I'm witnessing here. You know, I mean, there's something about the way these people are moving. Is it sped up or something? It is. Okay. I was like, I feel like I'm going crazy. The way those people were moving made me feel like, I don't know, I was in a wormhole or something. All right, so this decision leaves CBS without a late night comedy talk show host for the first time since 1993. They say we consider Stephen Colbert irreplaceable and will retire the Late Show franchise. Really, you don't want to try to replace him with an Indian woman first? I think probably the problem is that he's a white man. Have you considered that? Considered getting Lily Singh on there? I mean, I got some ideas. Give it to me. Give me the late night show. CBS, give me the late night show. Fire Stephen Colbert. Hell, all of Stephen Colbert, he can be my co-host. We'll put him in a cage. We'll put him in a cage and we'll hang him from the ceiling. And it'll be like a reoccurring bit that, like, we don't mention him for like a week. And then, you know, we're like, and by the way, Steven's still in the cage, and it'll pull out and everybody in the studio will cheer, and then we'll give everybody in the studio rotten bananas or something to throw at Steven. And so he'll both be humiliated, but that's also how we'll feed him. I'm just saying there's opportunities out there for humor, for fun, for TV being engaging again, but not with these people, not with these people.
It's crazy how you just came up with that off the top of your head.
You don't think I dream about this stuff at night? You don't think I dream? I want to show this clip. Clip number four here. We'll have time just to get to it. I may have to pause it and stuff, but it's CNN trying to deal with Colbert. And I want to try to describe or define whatever it is we're about to see. CBS cancels Stephen Colbert's show days after Trump's settlement criticism. Is this part of it, do you think? Because CBS did just settle a giant lawsuit with Donald Trump because of their dishonest editing tactics. I wonder if this was part of it. And you've got to fire Colbert. I want you to fire Colbert. I don't even want the show to exist. I want the show to go down with Colbert. I wonder if that was one of the stipulations. Probably not. Probably not. No, it's probably just failing ratings, and he's not funny and completely off the mark from what late night shows are supposed to be. And the whole thing is weird because the Colbert Report on Comedy Central
was so good.
One of the greatest comedy shows of all time. Better than The Daily Show at points, which is saying something, because that was when they were really in their groove and hitting home runs day after day. But they just stopped being funny. And they stopped being like generally acceptable, right? They became hyper-partisan. And they became vicious. And they became who they really are. I think is what I'm trying to explain here. And it's really kind of interesting that you've got CBS, which again is this storied, industrial titan in America. Of course, it is, its icon is literally the all-seeing eye, so take that into account. But you've got their flagship news magazine program, 60 Minutes, caught red-handed, blatantly editing the answer during an interview with a presidential candidate to make her look better. Just an egregious, flagrant violation of journalistic integrity. Caught red-handed, undeniably so. While at the same time, they're canceling and closing down their premier flagship late-night show. Because they got hyper-partisan, aren't funny, couldn't make points, are wrong about everything, and again, it's one thing if it's just like you can be funny and make fun of Trump. You can be funny and make fun of Republicans. It's this combination of the sneering superiority while constantly being wrong. It's not a good mix. It's not a good look to be both a condescending, insufferable jackass and patently, blatantly, hilariously wrong about everything. You can't be both of these things. You could be one or the other, but they chose to walk the tightrope of both dismissing and speaking down to their audience and being stupider than their audience. And that's not a good mix, Stephen. Not a good mix, Colbert. Good riddance. Congratulations. You've destroyed an institution.
RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain. Okay. So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up, so I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you could feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. I'm happy to report we're winning. I'm happy to report that our victory is even more triumphant than we expected, at least against our foes in the media and politics. I'm going to go ahead and drag a video in because I was thinking, I wonder what the last episode of Colbert was. I guess it's going to keep going. I guess he's going to keep going through the end of the year. But I did think it was interesting that the latest video published on their YouTube just before being canceled was an interview with Adam Schiff. California Senator Adam Schiff says he believes Democratic socialists like Bernie Sanders and Zohran Mamdani are succeeding in connecting with voters, while mainstream Democrats like Kamala Harris are seen as defending the status quo. Whoa! Whoa. Adam Schiff, I mean, don't underestimate this intellectual titan, y'all. He's actually saying that people like Kamala Harris are the status quo, but that Bernie Sanders and AOC are not. That's, huh. Hadn't thought of it that way. Amazing. Isn't that amazing? I started watching this video, and it's just Democrat propaganda. That's all it is.
gee, I wonder why millions of people don't tune in to watch their daily helping of Democrat propaganda. Oh, it's Adam Schiff and talking about Donald Trump creating a climate of fear. Well, gee, there's something we haven't seen every single day since 2016. I better tune into that. That's exciting and very funny. Very funny. And, you know, this is all a consequence of the... It's like this cascade effect from just the blatant dishonesty of the mainstream media. See, the news media stopped being honest. People stopped watching them, so they stopped getting their talking points delivered to their subconscious. So the powers that be decided we better infiltrate late night. People are still watching the late night shows. They don't watch our news shows because we keep lying to them. So let's embed those lies into their comedy. So then not only will they continue to be fed our propaganda, but it'll be disguised as comedy. It'll be disguised as just something fun and lighthearted, when in reality it's Democrat propaganda, and that's literally all it is. I guess let's go to that one first, if we can. Did I drag it in there? Yeah, it's why we lost the last election. Okay, this is the latest video. When Stephen Colbert's cancellation was announced, this was the latest thing on his YouTube. Let's see if we can watch this and try to figure out why this show went down like a steel balloon. Let's watch.
Hey, everybody. We're back with Senator Adam Schiff.
You know, Bernie and AOC, Senator Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have been going to red districts around the United States, and they've been getting like huge rally crowds for them. They're bringing those two people specifically have been members of Democratic Socialists. Here in New York, Zoran Mamdani, won the primary, and he's got big crowds. Certainly for Bernie and AOC, they might say, even though they're Democratic Socialists, they might say that they embody what Howard Dean said in 2004. I come from the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party. They're saying that there's already a message the Democrats have, and it's the FDR
message.
Hold on,
pause. I don't care what he's talking about. What do you think is on his hand? What do you think that was? Sorry, I genuinely just stopped listening to him. What is this? What is that on his hand? That's so weird. Oh, it's lipstick. He makes a face with his hand sometimes. Like a clown from the 50s. Like what? Okay, I think we figured it out. No, I think we have our answers here. The late night shows think they're smart. I think that's the issue. Now, look, not everybody can be Johnny Carson. Have you ever gone back and watched Johnny Carson interviews? Oh, there you go. Okay, the height of comedy. Oh, wow. He's making a face. He's making a face with his hands, and it has googly eyes. Look at that.
It's so much funnier when South Park did it.
Wow. No, this is comedy genius. Oh, no, that was hilarious. Hold on. I think I can do that. Wait, I can do that. You're not the only comedy genius around here, Colbert. Let's see. Can we get document cam? I call this character the president of CBS. You're fired, Stephen. Stephen Colbert, you're a piece of crap and nobody likes you. You have to retire. You can write a tell-all book and shove it up your butt, because nobody likes you, nobody thinks you're funny. Nobody's going to remember your name in 10 years. We can all do it. Is that really what they're doing? Is that really what they're doing in late night show, is drawing faces on their hands? It was a lot funnier when South Park did it. Who wants to tune in? You get off work. You have a hard day in the factory. You have a long commute home. Your snotty kids are misbehaving. All you want to do is sit down and unwind. Like you have for decades. Crack open a cold beer. Just enjoy some fun humor. Maybe get caught up on what's going on for the day. And instead, you get literal clown Stephen Colbert.
What's going on with the ring? What kind of ring does he have in his right hand? Yeah.
I was wondering that.
Kind of feminine.
You know, let's not look too much into Colbert's accoutrement. But you come home late at night, you just want to relax, and you turn it on, and it's pencil neck Adam Schiff being glazed by Stephen Colbert. He's just so fascinated at this idea that AOC and Bernie, I mean, they're getting big crowds in red districts. I mean, what does that mean? Like, oh my God. First of all, not funny, not entertaining, not even interesting, not insightful, not accurate, and just complete PSYOP propaganda.
Well, that and crowds on demand, you know what I mean?
I mean, that's the thing. It's just, it could not be more obvious what, I mean.
Huge crowds in red districts.
Yeah, I mean, it's just obvious. It's just obvious what they're doing. It's just like, manufactured consent. There's a phrase for it. It's called manufactured consent, where you tell everybody, hey, everybody loves this thing. And if you do that enough, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, a self-fulfilling consequence. Ah, yeah, everybody loves AOC and Bernie, like even in red states. So like, forget the people that are saying they're too far left. They're getting big crowds in red states. So I guess that means we'll have to be democratic socialists now. And the fact is, Colbert is like a, I don't know, man. It's like a mythological character. He's like a character. He's like a character that sold his soul to the devil. That is a sellout corporate shill that took the path that everybody who is in any way a legitimate artist avoids like the plague, to just completely, literally sell your soul to corporate interest as you dance around with a bunch of vaccine mascots.
Thank you. She's good.
In an effort to make billions of dollars for your corporate masters. That audio's up, guys. I'm not sure the crew's just watching Colbert clips now. They're just having fun with it. So I don't know. Should we go back to the interview? I mean, they were having a. He's talking to the devil. Yeah, very subtle, Colbert. Very subtle stuff.
This is not a bit.
Yeah, no. This is security camera footage in the CBS back room. Yeah, it just sucks. You people suck. You people suck. That's all it is. Again, at a time when, and same thing's happening in Hollywood, right? And it's how you know that they don't actually care about money. Everybody always wants to pretend like everything's about money all the time. If it was about money, you could make a hell of a lot of money by not having an insufferable school marm as your late night host. You could be selling advertising. You could be getting millions of views. You could be making deals with all the public relations firms, have their celebrities come on your show. I mean, there's so much profitability in making a good, non-political comedy show at night on one of the main networks that you can chop up the show into clips and upload on YouTube and Twitter and go viral. I mean, you have to almost deliberately try to fail at hosting the late night show. Or at the very least, you have to value something more than ratings and money. What they value more than ratings and money is the ability to hijack an American institution, to inject it with their own disgusting socialist ideology and force feed it down the throats of the average American. That to them is more precious than gold, right? Same thing happening in Hollywood. Hollywood could just make Top Gun movies and print money. You'd be printing money. Here's this. Here's what you do. You take the basic structure of every popular film in history, and you just upgrade it to the modern status, and then you just do that. You put a handsome white guy in the lead, you give him a hot chick to go after, and you have him kill the bad guys, and you could just make $1 billion every month. They didn't want to do that, did they? They didn't want to do that. No, they wanted to take the popular franchises and the popular IPs that Americans already have good feeling towards and love, like truly love and define themselves by. Things like Star Wars and Star Trek and all these things that people really, you know, are already attached to. And you want to hijack those, jam them full of leftist ideology, which has, of course, the effect of ruining the story because nobody's ever told a good leftist story. There are no good leftist stories. There's never been a good story that has a leftist message. I'm going to say that right now. That sound crazy? Too bad. It's true. I guess it depends on how you define leftist, but in terms of what does a socialist hero even look like? That's my question. If you're going to make a movie with socialist ideals, you know, what does it actually look like? You're definitely not going to have a hero overcoming something out of his own will. No, it's going to look like this, I guess. It's just going to be some sort of abomination. Again, the point being that they're making this choice deliberately to not choose infinite money glitch and instead use the power that you have to try to indoctrinate the American people into an ideology that is at odds with their very human nature. So people actually liked this stuff. If they actually thought this stuff was funny, obviously they would watch and these things wouldn't go away. But they're all going away because nobody actually likes them because they're not funny. They're not interesting. They don't elevate or inform. It's just CNN with a laugh track. Going to say CNN, but funny, but it's not funny. It just has a laugh track. Now, CNN actually is trying to figure this out. And again, I think there's a deep psychological event happening here. And I'm struggling to put my finger on exactly what it is. In a way that is not too simplistic. Just play the clip, Harrison. All right, I'll just play the clip. Let's go to clip number 4 here. CNN tries to figure out Colbert's failures. Let's watch.
One massive part of the conversation that's been completely omitted from this, and that is when you do a show that attacks half of America every night and you don't have conservatives on, and by the way, you're not funny, but attacking half of America and your ratings suck, you might lose your show.
There's a like, lot
this
of,
is a cautionary
there's a lot of reasons
but
why the Colbert,
tear. I mean,
but there's a lot of reasons why the Colbert ratings are not working out that have nothing to do with the political divide you're talking
about. But it's constant. He's having on Democrats to trash Trump.
I love that guy.
He is constantly trashing conservatives.
I wish I could. Dang it. Well, I wanted to hear what that guy had to say. Again, they're trying to. And this is the thing. It's the. Just in a word, the complete inability for leftists to just contend with reality. Now, if somebody were to come up to me and if I'm saying, my show doesn't have good ratings or whatever, I'm complaining, I don't have good, and they go, well, you know, you're pretty insulting to half the country. My response is going to be, yeah, that's true. Actually, that's accurate. That's true. But they're dumb, but I insult the dumb half. I don't want them as audience anyway. But it's this just like they think that they should be able to insult half the country every night and just get good ratings anyway. And they're just, and it's like, I don't know. There's just something weird where you go, well, you know, one of the reasons is probably because he was very insulting towards conservatives every night and half the country's conservatives. And this wasn't a political show. It's the Late Show. It started out with Dave Letterman putting chimpanzees on roller skates. and dogs that would like chai cherry stems together in their mouths or whatever the tricks they would do. It's not, this isn't supposed to be political. It's not supposed to insult half the country. But these people just can't accept that. Even though they know it's true, they want to reject it outright. And then in defending against that accusation, against that claim, the guy actually says, you know, there are lots of other reasons. Which is not defending the show, actually. Right? The conservative guy goes, you know, it's probably the political bent that is really ruining Colbert's ratings. The other guy's like, whoa, 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 hold on. There's a lot of other reasons why Colbert's not getting good ratings, okay? Let's not chop it up all to the politics. He's not funny, okay? He's not attractive. He's not ingratiating. He doesn't give you a good feeling when you see him, all right? The guests are crap. It, you know, it's not about insulting, but the politics are not great. The bands are terrible, okay? They don't know how to connect with the youth, all right? So let's not put it all up to the political divide. There's a lot of reasons, all right? Yeah, good point. No, that's a very good point. Thanks, black nerd on CNN. Let's go back to the CNN panel. Just outright rejecting basic reality. Let's watch.
Constant. He's having on Democrats to trash Trump. He has constantly been trashing conservatives. He referred to Donald Trump as a Nazi lover in 2017.
You just said that does make half of the country happy.
Right, but you don't need to have the whole country watching your show.
You don't need the whole country watching your show.
The problem is
I mean, can we just pause it again? This is what I don't. This clip goes on, so I'll stop pausing it. But this is. This is like, what are they saying? What is he even saying? Colbert failed. His show has been fired. His show has been canceled. He has been fired. The whole late night franchise at CBS has been sacrificed on the altar of Stephen Colbert. So what is this guy defending? So the conservative guy is going, here's why. Because he insults half the country. He's way too political. And the other guy's like, oh, he doesn't need half the country. Okay, I think he did because his show has been canceled now. So I guess he probably could have used that other half of the country as his audience if he didn't want to be canceled. This is what I don't get, man. How do you run a country with these people? They're incapable of dealing with reality. What is happening? This guy is arguing as if it is a debate. This is a postmortem, sir. You know, it reminds me of I can't remember exactly how the exchange went. A long time ago, there was a post on Reddit about a bridge that collapsed. In Florida, I think the whole thing was that it was some company that was like, we're the first all-female engineering corporation, their first project with this bridge that collapsed and I think killed somebody. And it was people in the comments saying, but the bridge was rated for 55,000 pounds. It's like, but it collapsed. And they're going, yeah, but it was rated for 55. And it's like, then that was... But the bridge collapsed. What are you arguing about? The bridge collapsed. The bridge is on the ground in rubble. And people are sitting there arguing that it shouldn't have, but it did. Like, this is what it's like. So they're literally trying to argue that Colbert should not have changed, was an all-female construction company responsible for the FIU Sweetwater bridge collapse. What do they say? What does Snopes say? It's false. Well, that's weird because they did advertise themselves as that. So I guess they were lying. Florida International University on 15th of March opened an investigation. Some corners of the internet couldn't wait for the results of the report. Culprit was painfully obvious. Women. An all-women engineering team. Another article claimed that the bridge was constructed by an all-woman engineering team, while a video based off these two articles took the claim one step farther by saying the bridge was constructed by an all-female company. These articles both contained collages of women that are working construction. I mean, this happens over and over. Not to get off the tack, but this company just it happened with the plane company, the airline. And it was, you know, the first most people heard about the airline was when one of their planes somehow ended up upside down on the tarmac. And people looked into it and found all these videos of them going, "We're the first all-woman flight team." So they just keep doing it to themselves, right? So the same thing with this bridge where they're making videos. This is our all-woman engineering team. Then the bridge collapses, and then they write articles. "No, we were not an all-female engineering team. That's crazy. How misogynistic of you." Like, well, don't brag about it if you don't want people thinking it's true. Anyway, that's not even the point. The point is, you had people in the comments of the article about the bridge saying the bridge was strong. The bridge wasn't going to collapse. It already collapsed. They're sitting there arguing, Colbert didn't need half of his audience. Okay, but his show got canceled, so I think he did, actually. So what are they even arguing for? And you can just see this pervasive mindset in everything the Democrats do, where it's like one of their programs just utterly fails. Hey, you implemented this thing to help kids read, and now, you know, the reading levels have collapsed. And instead of recognizing it and going, okay, I must have been wrong. Our approach was incorrect. How can we do it better? If this was our goal and we didn't reach it, what can we do otherwise to reach our goal in a different method? It never occurs to them. They just get mad at reality. They get mad at what is. And if you show them, hey, you had this reading program and reading level went down, not up, then they'll just go, well, it should have gone up. Okay, but it didn't, okay? Well, Colbert should have been able to be super political and insulting to conservatives and still had a show. Okay, but he didn't. Okay, he failed. It failed. The show is gone. So what are you even arguing for? You've already lost the argument before it began. So why are you having the argument? It is so bizarre. I'll finish the rest of the clip on the other side. Folks, please support us. And I meant to do it here. We have a very big announcement for InfoWars. InfoWars is getting multiple new shows, including a new Saturday morning show with Brianna Morello. I'll show you that announcement in the next hour. Suffice it to say, while the mainstream media is in a very real way crashing and burning, InfoWars continues to thrive and build. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting, in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. And it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.